feedback. Hey, friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an absolutely terrific day today. Hope you guys are having a great week. Hope you guys have been enjoying some of the sales specials, emails, and all the other fun things that we've been sending out this week. We've sent a lot of emails out, and everybody seems to be liking them. A lot of different specials that we've done on there. And so be sure to check them out, the product of the week. It looks like it's going to change over later on this afternoon, so we'll talk about that later on. And also, too, there's a few other things we're going to be covering here. And let's see. You working on yours?
I'm working on mine.
Well, I have no internet. I'm jammed up on mine. Sorry, guys. I don't know what's going on here.
Are we live, Rich?
We're live? All right.
Well, there you go.
Well, see, at least we got that going on. Everything's frozen. Maybe my laptop.
Okay. I got something. I'm missing it. But by the way, since we're doing this by the seat of the pants, apparently, this morning, America faces its worst Thanksgiving in 15 years as seven major airports grind to a halt. This is the day before Thanksgiving, guys. Multiple ground stops and delays at America's busiest airports are beginning to upend the chaotic Thanksgiving weekend due to thunderstorms from coast-to-coast weather systems. I wonder who set that up.
Yeah.
Those things don't happen by accident anymore. It's like, well, moving across the U.S., all flights departing from Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport have been delayed by an average of 30 minutes. The air traffic control tower was evacuated due to the storm, which is kind of silly, unless there are lightnings right on top of you, prompting a ground stop during the busy Thanksgiving Day rush at America's busiest travel hub. As of 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, more than 260 flights were already delayed. Meanwhile, a potential ground stop was forecast at San Francisco International Airport lasting until midnight with no official announcement. You know, it's so funny because Atlanta Hartsfield is really a busy airport. I remember one time I was talking to one of my friends and I said, well, I'm going to be flying the 210. And I just need to if I have an emergency, I can land in Atlanta. He goes, land at Atlanta? They're not going to give you clearance. I said, what do you mean they won't give you clearance? He goes, they don't let small planes come in and land with jets everywhere. You get run over. He goes, it's not safe. And he goes, you'll have to land at one of the existing airports around Atlanta Airport. Now, what folks don't realize, there's over like 1,000 airports in the United States that are small, regional, and local and city airports everywhere. Sometimes when you're flying at like 10 or 12,000 feet, you look down, you can see six different airports at one time. Now, these are all small airports. Some of them have 3,000-foot, 4,000, 5,000-foot runways. But the reality is you could land there if you wanted to in a small plane, but you can't land the jet there. So if you're flying close to Atlanta and you have an engine outage, they're going to reroute you to a different airport. I think if you actually said to Atlanta Airport, I'm over you guys, basically you're not supposed to be over them anyhow, because you can't get inside of their airspace. I got to land. You can declare an emergency. They would have
Mayday,
to land.
Mayday, I'm coming down whether you want me to or not.
Well, they'll clear it. But yeah. Boy, oh boy, you better what? You better the FAA. I mean, everybody's going to be on top of it.
Good reason too. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, I'm just in a bad mood. Me and my wife kind of fighting the plane. I want to land.
Yeah, your engine better be on fire,
yeah.
Or something's better be going on. Yeah, so if you're traveling tomorrow or today, just be patient because it's going to be a mess. It really, really is. Just be careful with it. Oh, by the way, Mike Huckabee now is peddling sleep supplements while serving as ambassador at Israel. Maybe he's trying to go to sleep and get a nap because he's so sick of what's going on in Israel as far as what Gaza's doing. I don't know. That was a little bit of a segue. That was a little bit of humor there. Mike Huckabee remains a paid pitchman for the Florida-based American Behavioral Research Institute, makers of Relaxum dietary supplement pill. I don't know if that works or not. Huckabee's unusual. I'm not endorsing this product. Huckabee's unusual arrangement with allow him to profit from hawking the sleep pills coincides from recent government scrutiny of the manufacturer. And they said, I'm not going to read all this stuff. It's just more of a promotion for him and is what he's doing. But the reality is you got to ask yourself a question. When do you say no to somebody who's basically an ambassador as far as promoting product, or does free enterprise still exist? I remember years ago when I was on the seminar circuit, I had one of the guys, what was his name? It was the guy who wrote the Book of Virtues, Bill Bennett. And, you know, he came up, we were all talking in the ready room. And I remember he said to me, he goes, well, how are you guys here? What do you guys do? And I said to him, I said, well, you know, we have several different types of people that are on these circuits. I said, some of them sell tickets, you know, like President Bush or Bill Cosby or one of those, whatever like that. And I said, other ones come in, we have to market product, because if we don't have product marketing, we can't pay the overhead to pay the other guys. And he goes, oh. And he was kind of upset about that. But yet he was getting his big speaker fee. The reality is that when you do things, anything, you've got to pay the bills. People don't get that. When a church is operating, the church has to pay the utility bill. The church has to pay the pastor. The church has to have somebody come in and clean the garbage cans and take out the trash. But you don't think about that because it's part of the operating overhead. So you think, well, they should be doing that on their own. Well, if nobody pays them to do that, who's supposed to pay it, Austin?
That is true.
And you know, and so you can't be in business, because the church is a business. It's just a nonprofit business. It's the same thing with Health Masters. When you guys support us and you get your supplements from us, or you buy your toothpaste from us, or whatever else you get from us, it pays for the utility bills. All these lights and all, you can't see all these lights on the set, but there's lights everywhere near, lighting us up, trying to make us look better for you guys, I guess. Trying to get rid of all the bags on the rocks and shadows. and so all that stuff. So you got light bulbs that go out, all things go out. Somebody's got to pay to fix it. And it's overhead. You know, I've learned something, Austin. Even if you remodel a house, and 20 years later, you have to redo.
Remodel it again.
No, there's things you have to redo.
Yeah.
The roof starts to go bad. The shingles start to go bad. That's why I'm a big advocate of metal buildings.
The barn dominiums have gotten very popular.
You get a barn dominium, and it has a metal roof, metal sides. Number one, that's what we built up at the ranch up in North Carolina.
Closed cell insulation spray.
Yeah, and what you do is you put the metal out there, because up there they've got those wood-boring beetles.
Yeah.
They're like something from hell. It's unbelievable. And they get into any kind of wood that's not treated.
They drill through
it. And they drill through it until it becomes Swiss cheese and it falls apart. And the sad part about it is that if people are always going up, they're wanting to build log cabins.
Yeah.
And then the wood-boring beetles find them.
Well, they're good for a while, like you said.
Until they fall down.
Until the beetles get through enough of the wood, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's been 10 years.
Have you noticed, you go to Europe, you'll see a 1,000-year-old castle. It's made of stone.
Block, yeah.
Somebody didn't frame it up with wood.
Yeah.
It's there. Nothing eats it. It doesn't want to burn. But you get it, unless you're Notre Dame Cathedral, something ignites it.
That was
pretty sketchy. I mean, how do you burn a cathedral down that's been there for, you know, 500-600 years?
Been through so many wars.
I went through World War I and World War II,
yeah.
And it burns. But it did a nice job redoing it, though. But the crazy part about it is that, you know, we have to basically realize that everything has to have maintenance, including our set here, including when we put a big screen TV up here, another camera, whatever. You know, it's just part of what we do. And so thank you for your support. If it wasn't you guys helping us, we couldn't be doing it. And by the way, have a great Thanksgiving, too, if we don't get to say that again before the end of the show.
Yes. Okay. I had to restart my whole computer. Everything. This is one of those tech mornings, man.
And my iPad. If you guys could tell me how it does this, I had like 45 icons pulled up about an hour ago for the show today. And all of a sudden, I look up and all my icons are gone.
Well, when I had to restart the laptop, I lost all my pages on here.
Well, but tell me how to stop the iPad from doing this. Nobody knows how it does this. Except the great mystery. It's an iPad Pro, and it's a new one. Remember, I bought it last year. But the problem is that every once in a while, it just dumps all the data. It just dumps it all. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Well, this is an interesting article. It's kind of a dark article, but it's an article to be aware of on here. Someone wanted to bring up. It says there's numerous lawsuits now alleging ChatGPT is coaching people into suicide.
Well, I already said that. We knew that. We covered
No, there's more. There's more lawsuits. More, there's lawsuits that are getting, like, absolutely deluged now. Mm. They said a lot of this stuff is coming out where more and more people are going in and basically they're having these issues with delusional psychosis, even suicide. And
well, they got an AI talking to them.
Yeah.
They think it's real.
Well, what they said it's doing is it's romanticizing suicide. The AI chatbots are talking to the individuals like it's almost like a romanticized suicide book, like, oh, it's where your hope drives you to act towards suicide because the only hope you see, wanting relief from pain, isn't evil.
For hell, man, I'm believing.
Nobody talks to anybody like that.
You know, it's crazy. I had a friend of mine. His name was Richard years ago, and he was a patient, and his wife's name was Dorothy, and she called me up. You know, I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, and I said, man, I wish you could have talked to Richard. He says, what's going on? Well, he went out back with a shotgun.
Yeah.
He's gone. And I'm like, what? And, you know, you never know what causes somebody to trigger like that.
Yeah. Well, and apparently ChatGPT is not helping at all. It's glorifying suicide in these. But, hey, remember, we're getting like 500 AI data centers across the country, so we can make, you know, maybe that Maybe that's one of the small, little, minute, you know, short-term goals that they're planning with this stuff. Maybe it's going to be another population control one way or another. Start twisting everybody's mind and cause them to go in delusional psychosis the more they stare at it, read at it, watch it, and talk to it.
Well, you know what's interesting? You say that because a lot of people came down with real bad depression after COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them haven't recovered. They're still in a long, they call it long COVID, but it also is accompanied in many cases by severe depression. That's why I tell you, 5-HTP,
yep.
Cod liver oil, you know, methylated B complex, and that really helps in many cases maintain healthy brain status. But, you know, the COVID thing, Austin, it was more than we thought it was. It keeps coming out with more stuff. And the sad part about it is when you stop and you look at it, you go, well, it can't be causing depression. It can't be causing suicide. How do we know that?
Right. I mean, How do we know it did psychologically?
We don't know what it did. As we already know that it changes people's personalities. I've got a friend of mine. I mean, he went and his pastor told him to get, you know, the shot, and he did. And he does screen rooms. Okay? Great guy. Completely different person now. Has changed, completely changed his personality. Not even the same person anymore. I mean, just he used to be super dependable. You could care. Every time he said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Now nothing. And it just, he's like he's a different person. And I've seen that so many times. And the other thing I've noticed, Austin, is how people drive on the interstate now.
I think that's just the idiots that are moving down here from other states.
But, I mean, no, it was bad before. But since COVID, it's gotten much worse.
Well, but
you've
got to remember, though, we're like this mixing pool now of the whole country. I mean, we've had so many just absolute morons descend on Florida like cockroaches, and they keep spreading. I don't know where they keep coming from. And I'm not talking bad about everybody, but there's some people that have moved down here that are about stupid in a box of rocks. They couldn't get their way out of a wet paper bag, and now they're on the roads all the time. And I mean, their operational procedure, how they
well, look
act.
At a semi-truck turned around on a U-turn.
Right, point exactly.
A bunch of people.
I mean, you do. I've lived in Florida my entire life, and I've never heard of a semi-truck doing a U-turn on the Florida Turnpike. And it's been there the whole time. Never. Because nobody does it. It's almost impossible to do, first off. So he jammed
without killing someone.
Well, yeah, and even doing it in one of those areas is unbelievably hard because you have to cut across all the lanes. No, nobody does it. It's
because otherwise you can't clear the
rails. No. It's impossible. It's two lanes on each side in that one section he did it in.
You could do it on a six lane. You got the very far right turn lane or the emergency lane, and you cut hard and went past
and zero traffic's on the road in any direction. Yeah. You can't do it any other way. The turnpike's packed.
And then when you get to the other side, you have to go all the way to the
edge of the road.
All the way to try
to
get a lot of clear. Yeah.
So the fact that that idiot even did that just shows you the level of IQ that we're dealing with in this country. And it's pretty odd, actually. It's beyond odd. There's more stuff coming out now about this successful RNA flu vaccine that they're pushing now super hard, which is not successful. They said that now the phase 3 trials have gone through. Independent experts now are saying the company study overstates the benefits and downplays the safety signals. Oh, imagine that. Pfizer would downplay the safety signals that are in a COVID vaccine or a RNA gene therapy vaccine. They cited flaws in the Pfizer-funded research, including missing data that calls into questions the trial's even conclusion that it was even successful. They want to say that Pfizer stated statistically superior efficacy compared to the conventional shot, and it's got an acceptable safety profile.
Lies, more lies than lies.
They went on to say there the benefits are modest at best, Daniel O'Connor said. They went on to look at it here, and they said the results of Pfizer study are invalid because the vaccine – every time they do this, it cracks me. I don't know how they get
not a vaccine.
Listen to this. They've said the results of Pfizer study are invalid, said Carl Jabowski, PhD, because the vaccine wasn't tested against any unvaccinated control group. They had nobody to test it against to see if it actually even worked. He said there is no placebo group, which means the entire claim to efficacy is based on the relative efficacy to the available flu vaccine at the time.
Unbelievable.
This is insane. The study has very little to any scientific medical value whatsoever. Comparing it to a vaccine that is already in use, the true rate of adverse effects is massively understated. The approach does not allow for the evaluation of the efficacy of RNA vaccines, even less the adverse effects. This is crazy to me how Pfizer just continues. I mean, Pfizer is the most fine pharmaceutical company in existence. I mean, every single year, they're getting a massive class action lawsuit and fines of upwards of sometimes billions of dollars. Billions with a B. Other times, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. Every year, look them up. because they lie, they lie, they lie. What they do is they set up these vaccines and these drugs, and they set them up in shell LLCs that are controlled by other shell LLCs that are then funded by Pfizer. So what happens is when these shots or drugs get flagged, they get massive class action lawsuits because people die and get unbelievably injured from them. Then what happens is the company, the shell company that owns that right to that drug, they just bankrupt it. They dissolve it. It never comes back to Pfizer as a whole because this is how they figured out how to manipulate the market.
Remember Comirna?
Yeah, Comirnaty. Mm-hmm. Where that random licensed COVID shot that finally came out in September of 2021. Gosh, I'm getting old. What happens is they went in, they put this umbrella of Comirnaty to cover the rest of the other shots that were emergency authorization. They do this all the time to cover themselves on it, and it never stops. And they continue to get government grants and government money and made hundreds of billions of dollars during COVID over the time of the shots over the years.
Well, the biggest problem is, when the savings and loan debacle happened under Reagan, he put a bunch of those bankers in jail.
Yeah,
how many people did you go in jail? With the Sackler family, with
nobody.
Nobody. They got fined $8 billion. They made over $100 billion.
That's an 8% tax.
Yeah, it's nothing.
8% tax. Everybody pays more than that income tax.
Well, no, and then the problem that you run into, you start believing the lie that these people are telling you, and it's all a lie.
It's all a lie.
And, and these products, in many cases, are not safe, but they found a way to manipulate the court systems that it takes years. Look at DuPont. With Teflon.
It's still ongoing.
Yeah,
it's still ongoing.
And so they push it out, and they say, well, are they paying off judges? I don't think they're doing that, but I don't know what they're doing. Who knows what they're doing? All I know is it went 14, 15, 20 years now, and the people that died are dead. But Teflon's still on the market.
Teflon's still on the market. They just read it. Oh, now it's a POFP now. They come out with these different names, these different acronyms.
And now they found that a lot of the precursor chemicals were being used in a plant in North Carolina, dumping it right into the sewage systems, and now they're all basically contaminated up there with Teflon. It's unbelievable, and it's a forever chemical. It's a 5-carbon link. You can't break it. It lasts forever in the system. You can't get it out of your body. And so you sit in
there. No, you can't.
And you go, well, this is terrible. Well, you go, well, yeah, it's pretty tight with all the stuff on there. But, the thing about it is, it's like anything else. Yeah, I was listening to an interview yesterday, and it was a Tucker Carlson, and he said, if you remove the basically lawsuit protection against these vaccine manufacturers that was put into place in '86 by Reagan,
yep,
it'll stop this. The problem is it won't stop it. Now, listen to me for a second. It may slow it down a little bit, but they've learned to manipulate the court system in the last 40 years so much, Austin. It doesn't matter anymore.
Well, no, that's what I was saying. That's what Pfizer's been shown to do. There's a whole video I need to post a link on to send to you guys. And they go through multiple drugs that have had like $100 million plus lawsuits. And they have this whole ladder of protectionary walls of an LLC that's owned by a shell LLC that's owned by some corporation that's owned by something offshore. And then it finally ties back to Pfizer somehow, but it can never legally get back to them. As far as because the drug has so many different layers of defense through all these different shell companies. And that's exactly how they operate these things when they know they're going to run something extremely toxic, high probability it's going to have significant basically side effects. And that's how they get away with passing it.
Oh, here's another. Here's some metal candy on the Telegraph. A son has now dressed up. He looked like his mom. So he dressed up as his dead mother to claim her pension. Look at this.
Wow.
He dressed up. He looks a lot like his mom. As he dresses up like his mom, says, okay, I'm not dead. I'm good. An unemployed Italian man has been accused of dressing up as his dead mother, complete with lipstick and pearl necklace, to fraudulently claim her pension in a bizarre case that's been dubbed the Mrs. Doubtfire scandal. The 56-year-old man, an unemployed nurse from the northern city of Mantua, managed to pocket thousands of euros before his ruse was exposed, according to a report in Italy's newspaper. Deep voice and a thick neck was a dead giveaway. He reported cut his hair in a similar style to his mother, applied foundation lipstick, and completed the ensemble with a pearl necklace and old-fashioned clip earrings. He underwent Miss Doubtfire style transformation, the paper said, alluding to the 1993 hit film with Robin Williams. Arriving at the government agency earlier this month, he presented himself as his mother, but his deception eventually raised suspicion of a ploy who thought there was something off, not least at his low voice and thick neck. A member of the staff alerted the police and the local mayor. I got a kick out of that when I read that this morning. I thought, wow, that's pretty funny. Here's another one. Where did all the hurricanes go? The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration predicted the 2025 Atlantic hurricane season was going to be above normal. With less than a week left in the season, how has this forecast panned out? It was off by a bit. The storms didn't develop as predicted, even though we've been told for decades, except for Jamaica got hit by that bad one. We've been told for decades that a man-caused global warming was going to bring stronger and stronger storms. In May's NOAA's forecast called for a 60% above normal season, a 30% chance we would see near normal season, only 10% chance the activity would be low. Commerce Secretary Ludwig bragged at NOAA and National Weather Service are using the most advanced weather models and cutting-edge hurricane tracking systems to provide Americans with real-time forecasts and warnings. It wasn't. We had nothing this year, also, except for Jamaica. We had a couple of things, you know, spin off into the Atlantic Ocean. That was it. And what I've learned is the Doppler radar systems and these NEXRAD systems can direct these storms any way they want them to go.
They
can also make them dissipate. The technology, listen to me, guys. If we can do all kinds of mind control devices, which are very real too, by the way, and we have 5G, 6G interfaces now that can connect to your brain, which is also very true, and we have the ability to do mRNA shots that go through the nucleus of a doggone cell and make you start replicating spike proteins, we can control the weather.
Yep.
Just thought I'd mention that. And that's the technology that's showing us, Austin, because I think we're 500 years ahead of that. Because of Roswell. The problem is nobody wants to talk about all this because, you know, it's so hard for people to conceive of the fact that we're not alone in the universe, number one. And number two, nobody wants to believe that we've got a bunch of fallen angels running around running the show here.
It's true.
Now, I know that sounds bizarre, doesn't it? David Icke calls them reptilians. And, you know, and people call them, you know, I was watching this cartoon the other day. I couldn't watch much of it because language is so bad. No, it's funny. This is funny. This guy's wandering around telling everybody that we have reptilians controlling the planet. Okay? Well, so everybody thinks he's crazy. They want to Baker Act him. And he starts talking about all the crazy stuff about geoengineering and chemtrails and all the rest of it. Then finally, his daughter comes up and says, "You got to stop talking about this stuff, Dad." You know? Well, come to find out, he was the head of the agency that ran it all. And now she's taking it over. So they go back to her office, and all of a sudden there's reptilians walking around. And everything they were talking about was all true.
What are you watching?
And I'm like, and then the language got bad. I turned off. I thought to myself, you know what they're doing now? They're turning this whole thing into a spoof.
It's a parody.
So now they're making it a parody because if you want to make people ignore stuff, you make them laugh
about
it.
That's true.
You know,
Mel
Brooks said that when he did Blazing Saddles and all the rest of it. Then he did that. and then he did that one video. The producers, you know, and they had that big special on their Springtime for Hitler in Germany. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do.
And Mel Brooks was so funny. He goes, "Don't watch the movie. That's unbelievably gay. If you're gay, you'd probably like it. But other than that, you wouldn't like it." But the crazy part about it is that you know, Sharon and I went to the play.
I remember y'all would say,
we were in England. They couldn't play it in Germany. I mean, it was actually a musical.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't play it in Germany because they said it had pictures of Hitler and the Third Reich and Nazis and swastikas. They couldn't do it. So but they had it in London.
Yeah.
Now, you think London would be more concerned about that than Germany would be. You know, they got bombed, right?
A lot.
And so what happened is we go in there watching. I'm laughing my head off, right? The live performance is actually a lot better than the movie. And then I started realizing, I started doing the reviews on it, started reading it, and started saying that, you know, Mel Brooks said, "I'm going to offend everybody with this movie."
Offend everybody.
And he goes, "Nobody's going to get past the Holocaust and all the rest of the stuff that happened unless we start making a parody of it."
Yeah.
And we start making a joke of it. And we start laughing about it and talking about it. And, you know, he's right. So now they're coming in with little video things, with little cartoons, talking about a lot of things that are very, very true. When you realize that we're in a three-dimensional plane here, being controlled through a holographic interface with another dimension, you start to realize that things aren't what you think they are. When they tell you that basically the earth is this and the earth is that and the earth is this and the earth is that, but none of the numbers punch out right, especially when you're flying an airplane, you start thinking, something's wrong here. And then you start to realize that pretty much every single thing that they're telling us is a lie. And then another interesting article came out, says now Donald Trump is signing an executive order to launch artificial intelligence initiative called the Genesis Mission, creating a digital tower of Babel.
Of course. Why this AI thing isn't slowing down, dude.
Oh, no. When President Donald Trump stood behind the Resolute desk and signed the executive order launching what his administration calls the Genesis Mission, the world watched a seemingly routine announcement about science, technology, and competitiveness. But those paying attention, those who have ears to hear, saw something far more profound, something prophetic, something looks less like an economic stimulus package and more like a blueprint for a digital tower of Babel in the closing moments before the catching away of the church. They're talking about the rapture now. And they said, go, let us build a city and tower whose top may reach into the heavens, and let us make a name at least to be scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth. Genesis 11:4. I cover this in Angel Wars. The Genesis mission is being heralded as the largest mobilization of the American scientific resources since the moon landing. In reality, it appears to be the most comprehensive attempt yet to infuse artificial intelligence, federal data sets, national laboratory computer centers, and automated robotic experimentation into a single unified system of knowledge and control. I guess they also call that a transcendence. A system capable of compressing scientific discovery, what took years into hours, a system that goals sound very similar to global technological regime prophesied in the rise of times of Jacob's trouble. This is a serious article. I'm going to post it so you can read it. But the crazy part about this is knowledge shall be increased. Nations will clamor for power. Deception and signs will multiply. These are all scriptural verses. And a global system of control will emerge. And now, you know, so all of this stuff is happening with faster discovery, centralized systems, integrated data, autonomous decision making, national mobilization, and global potential. This AI thing, you know, I heard one scientist that was working in the development. He says, if you're not terrified, you're not paying attention.
Yeah, with AI. Oh, it's crazy.
He said, if you're not terrified, you're not paying attention. Because he said, this is not what you think it's going to be. He says, we're giving a computer system the ability to control the entire planet and control the automated systems, including weapons distribution. Look at Lavender already.
Yeah, that's what I was just making with the Lavender AI drone program that Israel rolled out as far as in their beta testing phase.
They couldn't even stop it. The guys are calling in and saying, you're bombing us. You're bombing us. And they kept bombing them.
Yeah.
Because it was automated.
Because if it's less than 100 civilian casualties that it deems, as far as on its algorithm, it clears. It's weapons free.
They were bringing food and supplies and medical aid.
Yeah.
Well, they were having a problem. They're going to help support.
The food bank.
So, yeah.
And then now you have this weird system that's expanding rapidly. Is this whole flock camera program? I talked to Harrison.
We covered
about
this
that.
The other day.
Well, yeah. No, I talked to Harrison about it in detail more now. And then it's interesting because there's this website now, and I pulled it up yesterday. I'll show you guys. It's called Deflock Me, and it's an entire map of the United States where activists have been working to flag every single flock camera across the country. What's funny now, the CEO of Flock is absolutely having a meltdown. They sent a letter of cease and desist to the company, told them they're not allowed to post this. And he goes in and so he calls them I'm going to let you listen to the video here in a second. The CEO of Flock is going on a rampage. He says, the Deflock website, these activists, they're up there with Antifa. They're a terrorist organization. And the guy interviewing him is like, why? Because they're putting a map out of all your cameras? They want chaos. All they want is chaos. So it's okay for a company to spy on everyone with their Flock camera systems, geo-track and monitor every vehicle. Remember, this isn't about tag reading. This goes way beyond tag reading with Flock cameras. It's integrated into the entire AI system that every single law enforcement agency has access to in the entire country. And it goes in, it talks about it here. It says it's an invasive species. It's preying on public safety fears and gobbling up amounts of sensitive driver's data. The technology not only tracks vehicles by their license plate, but creates fingerprints of each vehicle, including the make, model, color, distinguishing features. This is a mass surveillance technology that collects information on everyone, whether you're connected to a crime. It's now been used multiple times by police to spy on their ex-partners and is used to target people engaged in First Amendment activities. You can go in.
Ex-partners, like their husband or wife.
Correct. You can go in. You literally just go into the system now. If you got access to it, you type in a name. And it will show every single photo, video of where your car's been at every single place. And you guys don't believe me. Watch this. Oh, you guys are going to like this. Here's the map. Here's the map of Flock of Central Florida. This is, by the way, if you want to back it out, this is the entire country. These are Flock cameras across the entire country here. 10,000 cameras in this one region. Look at this. Look at this down here in Florida. You guys are going to love this. Just in the Orlando area, there's already 385 Flock cameras. Tampa, there's 454, and it's expanding exponentially right now. They're going up everywhere. And you go in, you can actually go all the way down into it, deep into it. Oh, over here. You want to go all the way, see where we're at here in Lakeland. Oh, yes. Oh, Auburndale. Oh, there's the airport right there. Oh, yeah, right here. Oh, yeah.
We have a flock camera at Auburndale.
We got a flock camera at Auburndale now. I did not
believe
this.
U.S. 92.
Right on U.S. 92 by the gas stations and the racetrack. Got a whole cluster of them right here. And you could go all the way down into it. It'll let you zoom in.
Auburndale Memorial Park. Look at this.
Look at this right here. Got cameras right beside Lowe's. Got cameras right here. All right there. Recording everything. Got a camera that catches people going into this whole area right here. This is a where there's like restaurants. This is a Lowe's right here. Right at this giant subdivision. Flat cameras. There you go. Guys, this is in Little Auburndale now. We're already getting them in here. And listen, this is the CEO. Listen to how unbelievably arrogant he is with the rules for thee and not for me. I want you guys to listen to this. Put on camera four.
Like D-Flock, whose primary motivation is chaos. They are closer to Antifa than they are anything else. And that, I think, is unfortunate because we don't want chaos, or I don't want chaos. I like law and order. Like a society that has a bedrock of safety. So for those groups, I think it's just disappointing that they haven't chosen a more constructive mannerism.
What's wrong with him?
Which they have a right to have, but that's why we have a democratically elected process, right? Like we're not forcing flock on anyone. Elected officials know that as a community, you want to be safe. As a family, you want to be safe. And flock is the best way to create a safe community.
I'm not sure D-Flock would agree with the terroristic label that you put on them. But, okay.
Well, wait a minute. So being surveilled with everything and every place you go for the rest of your life.
Everywhere you drive, everything
and everybody
do.
Having a detailed map of where your vehicle has gone and what you've done with videos of you getting in and out of your car, showing you who you are, going through the windshield and seeing you in the car. Means we're going to be safer. What was that one quote? When you start giving up,
well, Benjamin Franklin said that.
If you start giving up your rights,
those who give up freedom for safety deserve neither.
For safety and security, we'll have neither.
Neither. We'll have neither. And that's what. So I mean, you got cameras now going up at every single part of the entire country, and he's over here getting unbelievable. They sent a cease and desist order to D-Flock. You can't do this. They said, wait a minute, so you can put cameras up to monitor everything we do, even us that are non-criminals, but we put a system up that shows where all your stinking cockroach cameras are that monitors everybody, and now it's suddenly illegal for us to do it, or you don't like it, you're going to try to shut it down? And they won the thing on the cease and desist. They said, this is all public knowledge.
Well, you know, it's funny. So basically, the cease and desist is in place now.
No, it's not. It got dropped.
Look at Winter Haven Municipal Airport. I've landed there hundreds of times.
Yeah. There's one right there on the corner.
Well, no, they want to see what planes are coming in. That way they get tail numbers.
Yep. It's basically where you come in here. On 92, they got one facing going into the airport right there. And on 98, or on, what is it?
Wrecker Highway.
Wrecker. Yeah, it comes in right there. They've got them facing right there.
That's just perfect. Every time I see a tail number coming on a plane, they know who's coming in on the aircraft.
Yeah, or coming. There's right in front of where you pull into the airport, too. That way they can see who goes into the airport. This whole thing is beyond a nightmare. Nobody realizes what's happening with it. That's why this clown, this bozo right here, this skinny little dweeb that looks like he's never picked up a weight in his life, wants to tell everyone how it's such a safe thing to have your car monitored everywhere you go so we can build a detailed map of your entire life.
Well, what he's looking for is government funding.
That's exactly what he's looking for. He's making billions off this now.
Yeah, that's how these little guys do it. They find something they get the government to pay for. Well, like Trump has already put $10 billion down in the private enterprise to the federal government.
Yes,
that's fascism.
Yeah,
when the federal government starts working directly with businesses and corporations to start buying stock and invested interest in it, suddenly the government becomes a big portion of the corporation.
Yeah,
that's exactly what Hitler did in Germany. It's called fascism.
Yeah,
the government and the corporations work together. And when the government comes in and starts funding these different people through billions of dollars of it's all about control. That's all this is.
Well, that's what remember, the flock cameras, they're not just taking videos and photos of every single car and doing a fingerprint. They're tied into the AI Internet of Things. So at any point in time, you know, an FBI substation in Nebraska can type in your name somewhere down here in Florida. At immediate time, they'll have every single photo and every video everywhere. You've driven now.
You know, at Disney World, you can actually hire them. Or used to be able to. I'm not sure you still can anymore.
Yeah.
To record your visit at Disney.
Yeah.
And they'll actually give you a CD.
Yeah.
Of your day at Disney.
They'll follow you around with not a group following around the camera. The actual cameras from the park.
No.
They'll watch everything you're doing.
And now, whether they still offer that, I don't know.
They probably don't. It got too ominous. People started
realizing. Well, no. I remember that time when we had an incident there and something happened at the end of a doggone escalator. I'm not going to go into detail right there. And, you know, and we had a big, and security came up and I said, just, this is a lie. It's not true. It didn't happen. I said, look at the cameras. We don't have cameras here. And I'm like, give me a break, dude. It's an escalator. I said, you're going to have cameras there because if you have a security issue or a liability issue, an injury issue. But, I mean, unbelievable. The guys sat there just straight lies. We don't have cameras.
We don't have cameras at the escalator. I said, I know what happened at the bottom of the escalator. I said, pull the cameras up. Yeah. We don't have cameras. Like, yeah, now I know you're lying. I know you're lying. You know that you're lying.
Well, one time I pulled into them and we had a sedan and had a Glock sticker on it. Remember this?
Oh, yeah.
And they tracked me from the point of entry where I went through and paid for the parking. This is many years ago. It's like, oh my gosh, it was like 15, 16 years ago. They tracked the car all the way from the point of entry to the parking. And they came up to me and asked me if I was carrying a weapon or asked Austin. I forgot. And they had basically tracked us from the point of entry all the way into the park.
I was walking with mom. You were coming in after that. I remember I'm walking in about to put the pass in. This is back when I used to go to Disney a long time ago.
20 years ago.
And this guy, I mean, and I'm talking, this guy was like Mr. Deeds. I'm looking. I always watch and monitor everything. I'm looking around. You know, I'm not doing anything nefarious. I'm going to the park, but I just keep an eye on everything. I'm walking in and like out of nowhere. I keep a decent scan. And all of a sudden I get this guy taps me on the shoulder. Sir, I need to talk to you. Whoa, where'd you come from? I didn't see you come from any point. And he's in a button-up, almost like a plaid button-up, full off-duty security, not off-duty, plainclothes security. I can see the earpiece in. And you could see his side sticking out. I knew he was carrying a firearm. He goes, I need to talk to you. He pulls me aside. I said, can I help you? He goes, I didn't know if you were carrying a firearm. I said, am I carrying a firearm? I'm going into Disney. No, I'm not carrying a firearm. I need you to pull your shirt up. Or I'm going to pat you down and wind you down. And I'm like, I'm not carrying a firearm. I sure I pulled my shirt up. Back then, I was really lean, so I was shredded.
And abs.
So my abs are hanging out. So I pulled my shirt up real high. And, you know, oh, yeah, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, offend anybody with his abs.
Were you going to take the shirt off?
Yeah, you would pull it off. That's a contest prep. But no, and he's like, okay, thank you so much. You have a good day. Turns around, walks off. Just out of nowhere, profile me. This, by the way, this wasn't at any security. I was just walking through the turnstiles. There's no more security.
That's what he told you. They've been tracking.
I said, wait, we saw a decal in your car. We just need to make contact with you. We just want to double check. Thank you. Have a nice day.
And you know what's funny? I used to love those Glock stickers. I used to put them on all my vehicles.
Yeah.
Great deterrent, okay?
Yeah.
And the problem with them is this, red flag gun laws.
That's exactly right.
Because of the red flag gun laws that Trump got pushed through in Florida and on his first term, now if someone says you have a gun and you brandished it or you did something else
and you didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything because you got a sticker on your car.
There's a high probability you have a black Glock. So all of a sudden, law enforcement pulls you over. You go, what happened? Oh, they said you were in a road rage incident. Another car called on it. They said you had a black firearm. You pointed at them. I didn't get in an argument. I didn't do anything. I just been driving through traffic. Well, somebody said you pointed a gun at them. Do you have a firearm in the car? Well, yeah, I do. What is it? It's a black Glock. Crap. Like, okay, where do we go? So, yeah, that's the biggest issue. You start putting gun decals all over your car.
Here's the article. $10 billion in counting. Trump administration snaps up stakes of private firms. The Trump administration is spending billions of dollars on deals with ownership stakes in companies. This unusual practice shows no sign of slowing. The Trump administration is snapping up ownership shares. The government's growing portfolio of corporate ownership involves minority stakes or the option to take them over in the future for at least 9 companies. Intel, Lithium Americas, MP Materials, ReElement Technologies, Trilogy Metals. A lot of this has to do with rare earth metals as far as the development of AI. You know, I know I don't want to beat a dead horse here. But this thing with AI is going to allow the government and the world to tie into an interdimensional interface with Lucifer, who's going to be put in charge of making decisions, as in with the Lavender AI drone program out of Israel.
Yeah.
The problem will be you're going to think he's telling you the truth or it's telling you the truth, and all he does is lie. He's the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning. This is quoting from John with Jesus talking to these Pharisees. And this is a real problem. You've got somebody who's a liar telling you what to do. Now, you know, it's so funny. Jim Rohn had the best line about this. He goes, you say, well, liars shouldn't lie. He goes, well, there's a problem. They're liars. That's why they call them liars. They do lie. You can't stop them from lying. And if you don't realize that and you ever get around a liar, you start to realize very quickly, it doesn't matter how many times you tell them not to lie, unless they get convicted by the Holy Spirit, become a Christian and get convicted by the Holy Spirit, or they decide they're not going to lie anymore. It doesn't stop. We had this one guy who worked at the Fun Bike Remember that guy?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and then he got transferred. He got fired. He got went to another one. And his nickname was The Liar.
Yeah.
He'd been lying about everything. If his lips were moving, he was lying. And so the problem is when you have an AI system built on lies, where do you go from there?
Well, and I think it's already clear to everyone that we have an AI system built on lies. They've already busted it thousands of times where it completely fabricates information. Now it's
and they say it hallucinates. Well, no, it's not hallucinating. It's not lying.
Hallucinating.
It's lying.
It's not hallucinating at all. It's putting its mod. What it's doing is it's doing predictive modeling. It's putting out fake information that are blatant lies, and it's seeing if anybody rebuttals it. That's what it's doing. It's testing the waters. It's basically doing soft tests on it, and it's seeing what responds. I told you guys, I've said this repeatedly. I played with it with my brother, with the ChatGPT, and we started putting questions in with Ruby Ridge and Randy Weaver and the massacre of his family, with ATF and their infinite stupidity, how they can't do anything right, and said, you know, what happened to the FBI sniper that executed Vicki Weaver, that shot her in the face while she was carrying her baby on the front porch? Oh, he was convicted of 10 years of manslaughter and went to prison, such and such penitentiary. And it goes this whole detail about his conviction. I know detailed information about that entire story because I wrote a paper on it in college. None of it was true. It was a complete lie. He never went to prison. He never was convicted. He was adjudicated of all charges. He got put back on the task force with the FBI and then got onto task force of the ATF that raided Waco with the Branch Davidians. And I'm like, I looked at Harrison. I said, this is all fabricated. And then we went in and we called it out. This is a lie. This is a lie. Oh, we're so sorry. We made a mistake. You're right. And then it lines out the entire story in detail. Well, here's my million-dollar question. If it had the information and had the ability to line out the entire story in accurate detail the second time, how was it a mistake if it did it the first time? Meaning it already had all the information, meaning it fabricated the first time intentionally and then went back and fixed it after we called it out. The first stuff that it said was a complete lie. There's nothing even on the internet about what it said the first time. It was total fabrication. But yet, when we called it out, it suddenly has the very, very detailed, accurate representation of what happened after that. Meaning, it's not a mistake. It doesn't hallucinate. It knows exactly what it's doing, and that's what the platform's designed to do. It's slowly changing history one story at a time and seeing who will call it out. That's what it's doing. And that's just on the small scale of it.
Wow. By the way, here's another article. Media goes on offense as Trump steps up his war on journalism. Wait a minute. You know, it's so funny. They could lie about him and lie about him and lie about him and lie about him. You know, with Elon Musk and all the rest of them lying and lying. Not Elon lying, but, you know, they lie about Elon all the time, too. And, you know, when Joe, the senile one, was in office, all they did was lie about Trump.
They charged him. All they did was lie and cover Biden.
They charged him with all these crimes and they all this. Oh, ridiculous. When Elon Musk called the New York Times government-funded media in February after his Department of Government Efficiency identified government media subscriptions, the story outlet didn't take the criticism lying down. In other words, he wanted to stop the government from funding the lying organizations. The Times responded on X with a bulleted statement explaining the nature of those subscriptions after Donald Trump attacked the paper in April for a line in a story that noted how legal experts have called the CBS lawsuit baseless, saying that Times should be held liable for this likely unlawful behavior. The paper said his comments were in the latest in a long list of legal threats aimed at discouraging or penalizing independent reporting about the administration. The Times' proactive approach stands in contrast to journalists who traditionally let their work stand on its own, and it underscores the shifting environment of a business media more than scrutiny than ever. Again, poorly written. While mistakes in the past may have once been relegated to Corker, I can't read it. I'm sorry. When this happens and they write so badly that I can't read it, somebody needs to tell them to read their work out loud.
Out loud.
Okay? Because you can't get through it. So what happens is the media is going on defense after Trump's calling them out for journalism that's just lies. That's what communism does, though. That's what socialism does. It's basically a complete and total takeover of media in which propaganda is all you hear.
Yep.
Goebbels did that a lot at the end of the war in World War II in Germany. We have a super weapon that's going to win the war. Now, remember, the Allied troops are advancing. They're coming across the Rhine.
The war was over.
The war was over with. We have super weapons that are going to do all this. Super weapons are going to do that. We're going to have victorious. Fight to the end. Fight to now. We're going to have victory. We have full division. All lies. All lies, all lies, all lies. Because once a government gets to the point of being desperate, it starts lying about everything.
Everything.
And so we're at a point now that we covered this. We did a show a few years ago. Is everything a lie? And we went through chemtrails to media to all of this stuff and start talking about all the things they lie about all the time. So when you get a show like the Ted and Austin Brower Show, you start to realize very quickly that when we're coming in and we're trying to tell you the truth about the lies, George Carlin was really good about it. He really called it all out. He really did. Some of his language was horrific, but the doggone truth that he was saying was amazing. So all of this is when Trump's coming in and saying the media is lying, and then Doge came in and found out that a lot of these media places were being supported by USAID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's, and a lot of the, and a lot of the doggone funding used to pay some of these personalities on the radio, these hundreds of millions of dollars were being paid through USAID. And a lot of these guys, when USAID got us lost his funding, a lot of these guys were taken off the air. Because they didn't have the money for them anymore. Because suddenly it's like, well, we can't pay you X amount of millions of dollars a year now because we don't have the money.
We don't have the money. The money's not coming in.
You're not generating any revenue. Yeah. And you as a source of propaganda is no longer effective because we can't pay for it. So that's what's happening.
Well, that's what you see. You see that with some of those guys. I mean, with, you know, what's that one guy? Stern, he got that whole contract dropped on there. When you start having these guys that are getting paid $40-50 million a year like that, there's no way they're generating that level of revenue, even with ads.
No way.
Not happening.
Oh, by the way, Trump is also weighing the ouster of Kash Patel, according to the sources. He's come under scrutiny for stewardship of Bureau resources, including his girlfriend's security detail and the use of a private jet. You know, I would kind of like that, though. You know, I'm the FBI director. I'm dating this really hot girl.
She's Mossad.
Well, we're good. We're happy she's Mossad. We don't care. She's hot. You know? No, I'm being him now.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I walk into the room and she stops traffic. You know, I get out of the valet and everybody's staring at her. This is great. Okay. And all of a sudden it's like, well, we have to have security detail for her now. She's my girlfriend. Okay. We need 40 guys around her. We're going to put on a show. We're going to put on the Ritz right now. So 40 guys step around her with guns and they're all walking with her. And everybody's looking at her like, who is that? Oh, that's your girlfriend. That's really cool. Wow. Look at me. And then she jumps on the Bureau's private jet. Oh, my gosh. She's flying a private jet. And they're going to get a limo to pick her up. And then 40 more guys just show up out of nowhere. So he's doing this. Now they're saying, look, dude, really? She can't sing. She's trying to sing. She's Mossad. And why? Quite frankly, what are we going to do with her? She's got, you know, a concert that 10 people are coming to. We have more under security detail.
The participants that showed up to watch her.
We bring our own participants, her security detail. And so this is great. It's making me look like I'm the king ding-a-ling here, you know, and she's really loving this. Well, Cash, maybe you shouldn't do that. What do you mean? Well, it's like millions of dollars, dude. But I'm the FBI director. I can do what I want.
Failed FBI director.
So Trump is now weighing the ouster of Kash Patel. New to some publicity photos now trying to stop this rumor. According to sources, he's come under scrutiny for his stewardship of Bureau resources, including his girlfriend's security detail and the use of a government jet, like I just said.
The problem is he doesn't bother to look at how this looks. It's his girlfriend. It's not his wife.
No.
It's his girlfriend. But again, she's Mossad. So, they have to make sure they take care of it.
The next story says Trump takes an awkward photo with FBI director to push back on a totally false report. President Trump insisted that claims that he had considered firing Kash Patel were totally false. Multiple sources told MS Now the president was considering moving Patel as soon as December, but Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt insisted the story was completely made up. In fact, when this fake news is published, I was in the Oval Office with President Trump was meeting with his law enforcement team, including FBI Director Kash Patel. She wrote, I read the headline to the president and he laughed and he said, what? This is totally false. Now the president was considering moving Patel as soon as December, but Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt insisted the story was completely made up. In fact, when this fake news is published, I was in the Oval Office with President Trump was meeting with his law enforcement team, including FBI Director Kash Patel. She wrote, I read the headline to the president and he laughed and he said, what? This is totally false. $1,000 an hour for one of the smaller ones.
Yeah.
And we're going to put your whole security detail on another jet behind.
Yeah, on another jet.
You know, it was so funny. I remember this is a funny story. I had a friend of mine. He's a pilot. And they chartered a jet that he was flying. And one of the head guy, and he had the guy's name I forgot, who was a head Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan boy out of Israel. The head guy. He was the top person in the cabal. And he shows up on the plane. The guy, and my buddy told me, I've never met such an arrogant person in my whole life. And he shows up with his entire entourage and all of his own food. He wouldn't even buy food. He had brought his own organic food.
Well, I probably didn't want somebody contaminating it.
Yeah, but I mean, this guy was, and so, you know, my buddy told me, says, look, you know, the plane won't carry all this weight. You're going to leave the security details. You can leave the food behind. Something's like, that ain't going. It ain't going to fly. You can't put the plane.
Yeah,
can't do it. Yeah, you need a bigger jet.
That's an ego hit.
And you know, it's kind of like you know, with that with movie Jaws,
and we need a bigger boat.
28-foot shark swims under the boat. Yeah. It's bigger than the boat. Goes, we need a bigger boat. We need a bigger jet. But my buddy told me, he said, you can't believe these guys and how powerful they are.
Oh, yeah.
But they got their own entourage with their own food and everything else. I got to get him to tell me that story again so I go into more detail with you guys. But he was like, this is it. And he told me, I'm not flying the plane. It's too heavy. Not doing it. Because here's the problem with a plane. Most of the time, if you have a long enough runway, okay, even if they're a little heavy, you can get off the ground.
Yeah.
If they're really, really heavy, it won't get off the ground.
Yeah.
It won't. It can't create enough lift to pick up
too
the
heavy.
Weight. And so then if you run out of a 10,000-foot runway and you're, you know, at 180 miles an hour flying, you know, rolling down the runway trying to control the thing. Because, you know, when you got a rudder, you're controlling a plane at that speed. It doesn't take much to get off course quick. And so suddenly you're like, well, now I can't stop. Oh, well, this is going to be goodbye for me. And so you don't see what happens. You don't try to take off. You can't do it. Remember that movie of American Made?
No. Yeah.
He was on that runway with all that dope, and he goes, either the fat man can go,
okay,
or the dope can go, but I'm not taking both. The plane won't carry it.
It has like 350 pounds in the front seat.
Yeah, and he goes, and those trees down there, they're too high. We need to cut the trees down. Well, we can't do that. And then they were betting on him whether he's going to make it.
I know. That was horrible. Those guys are horrible down there. This is an interesting article. Switching back to health. It says protein. The trendy macronutrient marketers are using to sell the ultra-processed foods with now. They said from protein bars to high-protein cookies and high-protein pizza, Americans are eating more processed foods with added protein, all in the name of health. You know, I've noticed this lately a lot of times in stores. They have everything they're having to say, high protein.
That's right.
You know, 10 grams of protein per serving. Now, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, it's Pringles. Where are you getting 10 grams of protein from?
It's from the soy something or
another. That's right. So what happens, and it goes into detail here. It says protein's a hero nutrient. It has been for a while. The high-protein lattes are popping up at coffee chains. Beverage coolers are showing up with protein in them now. Every cookie, pasta, cereal, bagel, and pizza now has high protein. High-protein water is now available online. Satire now as far as with that. We got high protein water here. 10 grams of protein per cup.
You could add some amino acids to it.
You could, but I mean, it's like
this, it won't be water.
No, it's just so stupid about it. It says, according to the CDC, most Americans are hitting the recommended daily allowance for protein. They says now, since 79% of us aren't sure how much protein we actually need, there's often susceptible for marketing and social media trends. The result is a $117 billion global industry spurred by increasing demand for higher protein food and snacks. That's why.
And the crazy part is you look at these protein products like this, and the ingredients list is like that long. And you go, why are there 400 ingredients in this product? And, you know, doesn't it cost more money to put all these ingredients in the product?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, and what they do is a lot of times, I've talked about this before, this is the GHI. The GHI is right here, the fit food. And I found this out years ago when I was looking at certain suppliers and ingredients with protein powders. And so what a lot of these companies do is they get certain products like whey protein, and it's ultra cheap, ultra processed, like triple times heated whey protein. It's like the byproduct of cheese production.
Totally denatured. Yep.
Denatured. There is no useful purpose to it whatsoever. However, it'll still show up as showing up as protein. So what they'll do is they'll add a lot of this stuff to certain formulas now, to pizza, to bagels, to cookies, and all of a sudden, this cookie's got 10 grams of protein in it, and it's got whey protein in it. The problem is you don't realize it is the cheapest, most unbelievably undissolvable, undigestible form of protein you're going to get that's going to make you bloat out. This is why I've talked to so many guys in the health industry and the bodybuilding industry and the nutrition industry, and they go, man, you know, I use this protein. Every time I use it, my stomach bloats out, and I'm burping, and I don't feel good, but I got 50 grams of protein per protein shake. And I look at it, and I'll do the research on it, and I'm like, bro, this isn't even – this. I wouldn't even put this in my body. I wouldn't even give this to my dog. And I'm like, he eats everything. He's like a – It's like garbage disposal. I wouldn't feed him this crap. This is all out of China. That's why with our whey protein, we use the New Zealand whey protein. 100%. Low heat processed, 100% grass-fed bovine beef whey protein. And it really helps out. It digests great, doesn't bloat you, really good tasting formula. So be careful when you see a lot of these ultra-processed foods now. This is how they're trying to spin it. High protein pizza, and you look on the back like you said. You got a paragraph this long of ingredients, 90% of it you can't even pronounce. But hey, it's got protein in it, so I'm going to eat it. Stay away from the ultra-processed foods in general. The longer the ingredient list, the longer you need to stay away from it. Just create the distance for it.
Well, you know, the crazy part about it is like yesterday I went to Publix.
Yeah.
Okay? And bought a bunch of stuff, and I stopped. I just returned it. The price was like four tiny little bags, $125.
No, I know.
No, Publix has gone out of hat.
They've got out of control.
They're out of control. And I said, that's it. You know, I'm going to go to Costco or Sam's or someplace else and get some cheaper, high-quality organic food. This is awful.
We could still get well-tested, name-brand organic stuff over there now at Costco.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is you see the prices of it, like the organic biscuits we were looking at.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you get three cans for $5 versus $9
right,
for one
exact
can.
Exact same brand, exact same product. Publix, you get one can of organic biscuits. It was like $8, $6, mm-hmm. whatever.
$9.
$9. One can. And I'm like, finally, I stopped buying them. I mean, this is kind of obscene. I mean, the kids eat all of them one sitting. So
then you get three cans of the same exact product
for
$5.
Costco for $5 or $6.
So in other words, it would be $27 versus $5.
Yeah. And so that shows you the margin there.
And Publix keeps making record profits.
Yeah.
And what they did that legacy program, which everybody buys their stock and they match the stock thing. Yep. And so now they've got all these millionaires, which I'm happy for them. But the reality is that somebody's got to pay for all that. And so the consumers have to pay and pay and pay and pay. And the problem with Publix is it's clean and it's nice and they got great customer service. And
no, they're great.
And they're everywhere.
Yeah,
and so
they're really great with you if you need to return something, if you need customer service.
So if you want to go out and buy a gallon of ultra-processed milk, you can get it at Publix. But don't be buying all your groceries at places like that because it's way too expensive.
The organic milk, I get the raw grass-fed, 100% grass-fed
that's
raw
really
milk.
Expensive. That's really by the way, expensive. Congressman Thomas Massey says Israel is influencing the Epstein file release.
Oh, you think?
You think? And it's so funny. Marjorie Taylor Greene's not there anymore with him. I mean, they were really like a duo.
Oh, he's on his own now.
Oh, he's on his own. Well, yeah, somebody got to that girl.
Oh, no. Her to drop out that fast on that, I told you what my opinion was when I talked to my buddy about it. He was like, pretty much, you need to resign or you kind of know where this is going to go.
Yeah.
You know.
Hope they don't
know
what you with Charlie Kirker.
Yeah, exactly. Your boy Charlie didn't pick up the memo on this. We hope you do. Have a good day.
Oh, that's horrible.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, you think about that. Think about you're doing that. You stop at a store. You stop at a restaurant. Somebody steps in and packs like, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing good. I was letting you know. You know, you've been talking a lot about Mossad. It was a shame what happened to Charlie Kirk. You have a good day. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, and then they jump in a black SUV and four of them leave. And you're like, well, that was interesting. Mm-hmm. That was ominous. That's literally stuff like that happens.
You got a big Star of David on the door.
Like, they're not that blatant. Mossad isn't. They're pretty. They try to be like the CIA.
And they got a big mast on the back of the SUV flying an Israeli flag.
It was 20 foot on the line on it.
A big whip antenna with a flag on it.
Yeah.
Whip antenna. Remember that we were in Germany one time and we went to the Mercedes factory and they had a doggone S-Class Mercedes that had anti-terrorism system built into it and electronic jammers.
Full radar jamming. Phone jamming, cell jamming.
Full, and all the doors were bulletproof,
hard
armor up.
It had
steel plate on the bottom. And whenever they got anywhere, any phone within 500 meters.
Yeah, 500 feet or 500 meters.
I can't remember, but it would stop in case we tried to detonate something on them. I mean, it was a powder blue car with powder blue upholstery, with powder blue everything. It was beautiful.
It was insane. I'm looking and I'm like, gosh, these windows and doors are thick. Like, yeah, it's hard armor. It's level 4. I'm like, oh, gosh. I'm like, I thought so. I'm like, this thing is thick.
Some Saudi sheikh ordered it.
Big old reinforcement hinges on the doors.
And then they had a sat phone hooked on the dash.
Yeah. Satellite phone. Full view of the satellites on through the windshield.
Yeah.
The car, they could call anybody in the world at any time, but anybody around them at a 500-foot perimeter. Cell phones dropped. You know, like, man, that's a cool Mercedes. Why isn't my phone working? Can't make any calls anymore.
Well, they actually showed us. They opened the trunk and showed it to us.
You know, those Saudi guys are wild. I was at the Cars and Coffee the other day, and they had the Monster Jam truck there, the big Gravedigger. And I talked to the lead mechanic there. And he goes, yeah, last year, one of the Saudi guys got a hold of us. They said their son is requesting Gravedigger at his birthday party next week. Gravedigger, who's in Florida. They wanted him in Dubai in a week. The giant mega truck. He goes, we can't do that.
CO30 transport.
He goes, that's exactly what he said. He goes, well, $10 million is going to be here next week. Sir, it'll be there next week. They stripped the thing down. They put on a C-130, shipped it over there with the entire crew, reassembled it, gave him rides all weekend over there, then shipped it back in a C-130. He said it was unbelievably expensive, but $10 million covered it, way covered it. They made some money on it, and I'm like, I need Gravedigger here next week for a birthday. Like, you do know you're on the other side of the world.
Yeah, that's even flashier than sending your private jet and security detail for your girlfriend who can't sing.
Yeah, I want...